We'll go ahead and just start reading Luke chapter 12, verse 46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. We'll go ahead and read the next part. John chapter 9, verse 4, it says, I must the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Go on in the book of Acts, and it says, But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, then unto God judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And we'll continue reading on in a minute, but the thought I want to share with you tonight is this. Past couple nights we've been preaching on prayer and the importance of a good prayer life. Then last night we was preaching about having a good, spiritually fulfilling life and the importance of being alive. Come alive. What is come alive? I'm already alive. I'm already breathing. Talking about breathing in your spiritual body. Talked about exhaling your praise and inhaling the presence of God so that you live, so that you come alive. So as I began to read and continue in the studies of where God's had me at lately, God began to speak to me about something simply is that there should be something in me that I always have something to preach. In season, out of season, because I am alive. Because I am alive. Not because I'm still walking, but because He is in me. I am alive because He is in me. I'm able to live and preach what He puts in my heart because He is in me. I'm able to live in joy because of the joy of the Lord that He has put down inside of me. My prayer life is not dull because of the joy of the Lord. The joy in my life is full because I come alive when God says, get rid of the things that hinder you. The happiness in my life is fluent when I allow the things that hinder me to get on out of the way. Satan would have me to dwell on the things that would hinder my life. Satan would have me to look back in my past and hang out there for a while. But God wants us to come alive. Wants us to come alive so that we what? That we preach, that we prophesy, ultimately that we obey God. Because I've never seen a time in a day when we have people that are so equipped to obey God, but afraid to obey God. And I'm telling you, I have to live in that every day. Afraid to obey God because of fear. Afraid to obey God because of those around me. I realized lately that what He put in me has brought me life. I'm alive because of the work of Christ. No man can take that away from me. No man can take away the joy of my obedience. Nobody can take away the joy of your praise. So if you're looking around, looking for somebody to critique how well or not well that you're praising the Lord, you're looking at the wrong thing. We're looking in the wrong direction. We're looking in the wrong source. Because when my joy is full of God, there is but only one place that I should be, and that's focused upon Him, with my mind upon Him, and getting in a place where He is number one, above all things, the all in all, the I am, the one that I'm focusing on in service. We're taking on that form of godliness. I watch shows all the time where it looks like it's great and wonderful worship, but it just looks so bland. And I often wonder, Lord, are people really getting what they need to keep them? Are they really alive? Or are we just shells? I don't want to be a shell. I don't want to be afraid of what God has done in my life. I realize of what God has called me to do. And that's what I'm going to do. I realize what God, Beth, has called me to do. And that's what I'm going to do for Him. There are always going to be places where God is going to need you to be you. Need you to lift your hands. Need you to sing your songs. Need you to do your part. Because listen, when we know that we're supposed to, when we know of the times that we need to be working, you know what my dream is? That we only have to preach 10 minutes and work an hour in the altar. If we were in good shape, we wouldn't have to preach very long, would we? We'd be able to get to the gospel and get to work in the altar. That's the truth. Are you alive? Are you able to obey God? I see individuals that are more than able to step out and obey the Lord. But what I can't see is what holds you back. I see people that are able to sing the songs of Zion, to break the yoke, to bring such an anointing to deliver those in bondage. But what I cannot see is what holds you from being able to step out and do it. I can't do a thing about what holds you back. I wish I could. If I knew of some way, I would do everything in the world to try to get you out to step out and obey the Lord. But I can't do it. And the part that alarms me is that there's so many we're missing. And we get so busy about complaining about how bad service was, but nobody's talking about the people that we're missing out on. Everybody wants to talk about everybody else, but nobody is concerned about the lost that's not getting in the door. We're not concerned about those that are ill in body. We don't have a concern to get down with them in the altar. We'll let them pass us on by. Our compassion runs thin because we let those things that are hindering us stand in the way. And Jesus said, as it reads in the Word of God, that those that know that there's many stripes ahead of us, for those that know that we have a calling in our life and we hold back, their stripes ahead of us because we are holding back and hindering the blessings for other people. When I don't preach the Word of God and I don't be free the way that God wants me to be, somebody's missing out on a blessing. And I don't think that people realize just how powerful that God is inside of them. I don't think people realize the God that they have inside of them. I don't think that we take the time to really look inside of ourselves and realize just how much strength that we have. You are made more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You're able to go through all things. And yet we act like we can't praise God for a little bit. Act like that we can't encourage somebody. You know, sometimes we get so resentful in our trials, but I thank God that we're able to go through things. Because it reminds us of how great and powerful and magnificent that He is. God's looking for a church that's willing to step out. He's looking for a church that's excited. God's looking for a church that's excited. He's looking for somebody that has the joy inside of them. And trust me, I don't have to have a conversation with you to know how much that God has done for you. He's been good to all of us and gave us more than enough reason that when somebody is in need, that it should be enough for me to get out, to get up, to step out, to move forward, to stop looking around and being distracted by the enemy, to look at the very need that's in front of me, to realize that there's more going on than just what I see with my eyes. Spiritual warfare that is won through your obedience. Nobody likes to hear preaching that gets up in our business that involves what we do. Everybody likes to hear preaching that talks about the church as a whole or talks about other churches and what they do wrong. But when we talk about and preach about us, nobody likes that. I know that, but that's all right. I think God called me that way for a reason. Doesn't bother me if we don't like it, because I don't like it either. I don't like to get up when everybody else is looking at me like, you're crazy, buddy, to get up and try to say everything that you're saying. You're crazy to try to get up and be excited when nobody else is excited. You're crazy to try to motivate people to try to get excited about the calling of God in their life. But I don't care what I see in front of me. I don't care what I would see in front of me. We're not battling the flesh. We're battling something far greater than that. There's strongholds that you cannot see. Strongholds that you cannot see. And if we're not obeying God spiritually, I'm not talking about obeying God being here in the number. That's honorable. Yes. We love when you're here. Don't get me wrong. But we're looking for those that know their calling and are confident in their calling, that are willing to step out. How many times does God have to call before we step out? How many times does He have to speak inside of our hearts before we begin to step out to the voice of God? What is it going to take before we begin to heed what God begins to do inside of our hearts? Sometimes I don't know, because sometimes if God is too good to us, we neglect to praise Him when He's good to us in the good times, and then when He brings us out of the bad times, we neglect to praise Him. So I wonder what in the world it's going to take for us to be able to go forward. You know what it takes? A desire. I don't always feel like getting up all the time and preaching. Do you think I always do? Not me personally, but there's a part of me that drives me. Because the other part of me would say, Jared, just give it up, buddy. What do you think you're doing? You think you're making any difference? Everybody has that part of them. Everybody does. But then there's a stronger part of you, if you'll allow it to, that will supersede that, that pulls down that stronghold, that says that what you're doing is making a difference, that God is going to begin to weed out all the stuff that's hindering. When we get to a place where we have a desire and we're able to obey God, then people are able to be touched. People are able to be reached. People are able to begin to feel. They're able to see from your witness. When it comes right down to it, I can't do anything on my own without God. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I love to preach, but it's so much easier. It's so much easier when we work together. And I'm sure there's plenty of people that love to sing but dread it if the church don't work together. There's been some places that we went and visited and sang and felt like that we were in the desert. Felt like that we had to just get down on our knees before we started and break the ground to find some kind of oasis. It doesn't have to be like that. When I come in here, I don't come in here with dread. I come in here with joy. I come in here with joy. I don't come in here with worry. I don't come in here with fear. I don't bring my baggage to advertise to the brethren. I come in with a desire to help you. If I'm in bondage, how could I be of help? How can I reach? How can I touch? How can we make a difference? How can we reach out to those that are lost and in need of God? The answer is that we can't without Him. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:14, even so the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. There's something in me that drives me to go on. There is a presence of God that pushes me on. It helps me to carry that load. Helps me to take my next step. When I'm alone, He is my companion. When I'm in need of a friend, He's my friend. When I'm ill in body, He's the one that brings my healing. When I'm in distress, I can call out a distress signal and He hears me every single time. When I'm in trouble, He's the one that comes down and rescues me. So when I'm able, when somebody calls on me and says, do you have a word? It doesn't take me very long to say, yes, I do have a word. It's not null and void in my heart for what God has in me. And I know that sometimes we feel null and void because we're not preachers, but there is a word inside of your life. What God has done for you is more than enough to be able to reach out to those around you. We need each other in this day that we're living in. I need to hear from my brothers and sisters to be able to tell me, Jared, I know that you're going through a hard time, but everything will be all right. I need to hear from my brethren that if you are in need, that you're able to come up for prayer. When we are in trouble, He will reach out to us. Through what? Through each other. Because when we're together, there's nothing that could hinder us. There's nothing that could stand in the way. There is no weapon formed against us that could tear us apart. I feel so humbled. I feel so humbled because of what God has placed in my life. I'll never give up. I'll never let go of the calling on my life. I can't because of what He placed inside of me. There is a burden that comes alive when God's presence is in the midst. I cannot help but get up on my feet and have a little joy in my step. I cannot help but come boldly before the throne room of God and to trust in Him in my time of trouble. And people might look at me and say, Jared, there's no way I can believe with you when nobody else is believing. But you don't need anybody. It should come alive in your heart. And I hate to tell you, but if it's not coming alive in you, then we've got some roots that are dead inside of us that need to be plucked up from deep down inside of there. We got to look in there and say, Lord, what is it that doesn't let me get up and be free in your service? Just like in this moment right now that the enemy would try to hinder the very word of God that's trying to come forth this very moment, we need to ask ourselves, what is it right now that would hinder the very word of God that would try to be spoken when we try to worship? What is it in me, God, that doesn't allow me to be able to be free in your church? Because there should be something that comes alive in you when the presence of God says, I'm calling, I'm calling, I'm calling, I'm calling. If your heart is broken, come out of it. Rise up with us tonight. Come alive. Come alive. Get up out of that flesh. Flesh, get on behind me. Trouble, get on behind me. Trouble, get on out of my way. Hindrances in this church, get on behind us. Get out of our way. Satan, get thee hence. Satan, get thee hence. We're here to worship God. We're here to save a lost and dying world. We're here to make a difference. We're not here to play church, but we're here to come together. Are you able to come together? Are you able to come together? God is looking for a people that will not be ashamed. Looking for a people that will praise Him when there's no music. That'll praise Him when there's silence. That'll be bold. That'll come boldly. That'll come boldly. That'll come boldly. You might not be feeling this right now, but that's all right. God wants you to come alive and get out of that that would hinder thee. The Holy Ghost is just here to simply pick you up and put you on your way. It's here to pick you up, put you on your way. Because I don't either like somebody, like the way they do this, like the way they do that. He said the evidence. Oh, He said the evidence was in your love for the brethren. If you see 25 people trying to come together in the Lord, surely that should be our sign that it's time to come together in the Lord. No, I'll just wait till the other 5 get up because I like those 5. Really? I thought we were a church, one body. I thought we come and attended this place together, sweated together, worked together, prayed together, long together. If not, I must be mistaken. Somebody didn't give me the memo. I thought that the love of God was there for you and there for me. That we have no respect of person. And if God didn't have one, I shouldn't have one. And if four or five start coming together, praise God, I should be able to link up with my brothers and sisters. I don't know them. Does that matter? Don't matter. When a church comes together, it moves together. He don't want us to move in waves. He wants us to move together. I'm guilty, just like everybody else. But when that moves, we got to start moving. Because there is powerful moves that come by. It'll come by in the beginning of praise and worship. And a few will get a hold of it. And they'll be blessed. And then some people will come up for prayer. And a few people will come up for them and they'll be blessed. And then a few people will get a hold of the word of God and they'll be blessed. But the entire church goes out, eats its shonies and says, I don't understand why church is in the shape that it's in. Well, tell me why we're not coming together. Tell me why we're not able to grab hold of the presence of God. I don't think I've heard this preached in quite a long time. I've not heard this preached in quite a long time. And when God put this on my heart, I thought, Lord, too hard, God. Lord, too hard. They'll tell me no more. God, too hard, too hard. But as I begin to read in the book of Amos, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? Shall there be an evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? What else can we do when the trumpet is blown? When the battle cry begins to come out, but to allow the voice of God to be spoken. What more can we do when evil is present all around us except fear God and do what he bids us to do? When the voice of God begins to come down in his church, what more can we do other than what he speaks in our heart? I'll tell you what we do. We do nothing. Apparently that's our solution. And I don't even like saying that, but apparently that's our solution, is disobedience. But if we want to say it in modern day, disobedience is sin. I feel a weight go on me when I say that. Disobedience is sin. And not only that, it's like poisoning unto you. Because when you're not putting something in you to promote life, it's strength that you're not getting a hold of. One hand that you're not able to raise and worship, it's another day that you don't have strength. A day that you're not able to pray and ask God for strength in your life. It's a day that you feel weak. A day that we don't apply the word of God when it's spoken. It's a day that we live in confusion. I've heard enough word preached my entire life that if I never made it to church again, it should be enough to live. Live a good godly life. You think we'd never heard the word of God before the way that we had come in? I say that like I feel at home tonight. You think we'd never heard the word of God sometimes to realize how powerful that he is, how great that he is. I'm just foolish enough to take him at his word. I'm just foolish enough to come in and enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I'm just foolish enough to do it because I want those things that it talks about. I don't want to just read about it or talk about how I know that it says it. I want it. I am in pursuit. I'm striving for the mark of the high calling of God. The calling that we all have. And it's high because it's he. We were called out from sin, and now we have a higher calling. We're brought up higher above this this world. We walk of the world, but we're not of the world. Praise God. I'm glad I don't walk of this world. I'm glad that I'm not in drugs. I'm glad I'm not depressed. I'm glad I don't live the way that I used to live. I'm striving by the word of God. That Holy Ghost is going to teach me all the way till I get to glory. It's going to lead me when I'm in need. It's going to show me, Jared, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. It only makes the difference if you use what God speaks. He said, ask. I said this the other night. He said, ask and it shall be given. Then we read in another spot, it said in Ezekiel that he was looking for people to stand in the gap, and he found none. Looking for people to stand in the gap. We always talk about, I'm standing in the gap. The only reference in the Word of God to standing in the gap is when he was looking for people too, and there wasn't any. Are we that people that he's looking for us and we're not there? What's even worse is that we're not that hard to find. We're not that hard to find. I'm right here, God. I'm behind your pulpit. I'm supposed to be preaching. I'm supposed to be singing down the glory. I'm supposed to be doing it. I know that I'm supposed to be doing it. I know I'm supposed to be doing it. We're not that hard to find. And we're not that hard to reach either, especially when we know. And God calls on us. Oh, just leave me a voicemail, Lord. I'll get to it later. We'll let that voicemail box get full to where he keeps trying to call us and he can't leave one because it's full. He's tried to call us so much, tried to get us to get out of our life so much, out of our sin so much, that we just don't listen anymore. We've grown cold. You know why? Because when there's people that come in really bound up, he wants you to be that one that is bold enough to go to him and say, brother, please, I need you to come with me. Sister, I know that you can get some help and let go of your fear instantly and not have anything to hold you back. And when you see the church is in need of somebody to step up, that you begin to just sing the praises and the glory of the Lord. And if you see somebody stepping out, that you just push them on and say, go on.